if you would and you want to follow along, please go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read the last two verses. Well, I guess since there's a paragraph marker, let's read the last three. Verse 22 of Genesis 3. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Hold on, sorry. Excuse me. All right. I didn't have any church signs this morning, but I do have a quote. This is a word for sinners, which is us. You will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything but Christ. Charles Spurgeon said that. I like that. It reminds me of that. I think it's in Deuteronomy and maybe in 1 Kings or something where he says, I am the Lord. What does he say? I kill and I make alive. And he says it in that exact order because that's the order he meant it in. You're never going to look to the light until you figure out that you think you're in darkness. Jesus Christ was the light and is the light, but the darkness never comprehends it. Anyhow, I'm going to start in verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now, a little background. In the garden, Adam had fellowship with God. And that fellowship ended. Ended. Now, after Adam's sin, Jesus Christ, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, God, but Jesus Christ spoke with Adam and Eve. And matter of fact, he preached the gospel to them the very first instance. And I like this. I like this very, very, very much. It's in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3. And he says, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And that is Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Very quickly, very succinctly, he did. He did. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That happened about 2,000 years ago. Now, this is both at this time, prophecy and promise. It's both. Because this is the promise of Jesus Christ bruising the head of the serpent and bruising his heel at the same time. And please understand, a bruised head is much worse than a bruised heel. Understand this also. This makes it also very clear, very plain. There is no competition between God and Satan. There's no competition. Satan doesn't have a chance. Satan didn't have a chance. God said this is going to happen. And if God said it, guess what? That's what happened. That's what happened. There's no competition. The Son, Jesus Christ, did not come to compete with Satan. Again, there is no competition. I'm reminded of 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And trust me, never forget, the battle is the Lord's, always. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not, does not, and never will require help from you or I. It's not necessary. Now, but after this gospel message of deliverance from the Lord, and before he sent them forth, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. And here's the important part here. And clothe them. He didn't make coats of skins and say, here, put these on.
Right.
No. He clothed them. In coats of skin, he clothed them. He dressed them. He covered their nakedness. He gave them protection. He put these coats on them. They didn't clothe themselves. Now, I'm not going to go into where these coats came from. I don't think I need to, because I know where skins come from. All you need to understand here is that Adam's fig leaves were bloodless, and therefore of absolutely no value. No value. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. Now this is the situation and status of Adam and Eve before verses 23 and verse 24. Chastised by God. Heard the prophecy, they were told the gospel, and they were clothed in skins. Then, therefore the Lord God sent Adam forth from the Garden of Eden. And this is what it says. What? Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. Very plainly, Adam was sent away. Away. He was sent out of the garden. He was sent forth from the Garden of Eden. But there's more. Because this is what one of the things that caught my eye when I was studying this up. Because you understand, he was sent forth in verse 23. Then it describes it in verse 24. So he drove out the man. He drove out the man. Here's the thing. Yahweh Elohim drove out Adam. Now this is a much different word than sent forth. Now I looked at a couple of other translations, and they use the same word in both verses. No. Sent forth just means basically he was sent away. That's what it means. Okay. The word drove out is much harsher and much more final. Because here it is. What it actually means is to drive out from a possession. Another word, divorce. Where a woman be forcibly sent away, out. That's what the Lord did to Adam. Adam was the first divorce. In essence, the Lord God divorced Adam from his presence and forced him away from the garden. And so Adam and Eve left the garden, never to return. Never to return. Not to the garden. Now let's be clear. This is one of the things I looked at that Robert Hawker pointed out. Understand, Satan was cursed. The earth was cursed. But Adam wasn't cursed. He was sent out, he was drove out, but he wasn't cursed. Adam fell. And Adam fell. And we, therefore, coming from Adam, are born fallen. But Adam fell. Thank goodness he was not cursed. Adam, the earth was cursed, and Adam was rightly condemned and fell. But then again, this is still not all. A flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You understand, there was a cherubim, and then there was a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I don't know the location, okay, or the layout of the Garden of Eden, and neither does anybody else. I don't know anything about the tree of life either, except what the scripture states. It says, if you eat of the tree of life, you shall live forever. And it says that that tree of life was in the garden. That's all I know about it. Adam did not eat of the tree of life while he was in the garden. And now Adam was divorced from the garden, and there was a flaming sword that turned every which way. There was no way back into the garden. And I'm going to tell you this today, thousands of years later, right now, there's no way back into the garden. There's not. I know some people want to make the earth a garden, and they want to reestablish, oh, we'd like to make it like the Garden of Eden. Can't be done, folks. It can't be done. This earth is cursed. Things wither, things die, all the time, every day, all around the globe. And you're saying, we're in summer here, end of summer. They're hitting the end of winter and going towards spring in Australia. That's the way the world works. Sometimes there's always something dying. Always there's something dying somewhere. This world is cursed. There's no way back to the tree of life through the garden. That way is blocked. It's blocked. There's no way. Here's the thing. We are not going to re-enter Eden, because that way is blocked. And the way to the garden, that's what that means. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep, and that means to block access to, the way of the tree of life. That way is blocked. But I do know the way. I do know the way. Oh, I like that. And here it is. Well, Revelations chapter 2 and verse 7. I'll go ahead and read that. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I like that. Now, I don't know about you, but in my younger days, I don't know if you ever heard an Arminian preacher read this verse or preach on it, okay? But I have. And whenever anyone would read this verse, here's what they would ask you. Are you an overcomer? And I always thought, no, I'm not. I was wrong, but because what they would then go on to say is to actually lie to you about what an overcomer is, okay? Because the reason I didn't feel like it is overcoming to these people, explaining it, was living the full victorious life in Christ. And I have never felt like that in my life. You understand? Walking in victory and not sinning. Walking and talking just like Jesus. Have you ever heard that? They were first called Christians in Antioch, right? And somebody explained that by saying, oh, they walked so much like Jesus and they talked so much like Jesus. They thought it was Jesus. They called them Christians. No, that's not what it was all about at all. They were called Christians in Antioch because Christ was the one they talked about. Christ was the one that they preached. Christ was the, what? The Savior. The Lord. But these people, oh, I mean, I understand. And that really, it bothered me when I was a young fellow. Because I didn't feel full of victory. And I didn't walk and talk just like Jesus. Because here's the thing. I knew even then, Jesus Christ is always right, and I'm not. Now, and I will confess right here and right now, and I've done it before, I have never felt worthy of the life that Christ has given me. I've never felt worthy of Christ. And I still don't. I still don't. But that's not what an overcomer is. That's not what it means, he that overcometh. And I found that in 1 John chapter 5, just a few pages back, in verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, the next verse. Whatsoever is born of God in verse 4. But then in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And by his grace, this I can do. By his power, I can believe him. Through the workings of his mighty power, I believe him. Oh, I like that. By his grace, through his faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I did then, I do now, and by his grace, I will tomorrow. What's that mean? I have overcome the world. I'm not bragging. It's not because of me. It's because of his faith. What does it say? This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I know where our faith comes from. It came from the author and the finisher of faith. It's his gift. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works. What's that mean? That'll be not of works. Your works, my works, anybody's works, except Christ's works. Lest any man should boast. I have overcome the world, not by my works, but by his. By his power and his faith. Because here's the thing. His faith has made me whole. Whole. I like that. Revelations 22 and 14 says that, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. I know the way to the tree of life, and it's not through the Garden of Eden. No, it's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. What did Jesus Christ say? Say. And I read you this song this morning. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way. There is no way back to the garden. That's blocked. But Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way. Not only is he the way, he's the life. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Period. Exclamation point, if you want to put one there. There is no life without Christ. And Christ gives unto his people, what? Eternal life. Never-ending life. Perpetual life. It is in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Oh, let's say. Those that are born again. Those that are born from above. Those that are born of God. Are given the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit of Christ. Dwells in each of his people. Sometimes it may not feel like it. I understand. I mean, sometimes I have felt totally and completely alone. But I'm not. Thank God my feelings don't determine the matter. That's all I got to say about that. Because if my feelings determine the matter, I'd be in a heap of trouble. My feelings don't determine the matter. His power, his Spirit determines the matter. And he says, they dwell. He dwells in us. Abides in us. Oh, I like that. Especially when I don't feel like it. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. And you may come home to an empty house someday. It happens. It happens. It's going to happen more. But here's the thing. You're never alone in that house. If you know Jesus Christ, you're never alone. You're never alone. Oh, you can sing and mean, how tedious and tasteless the hours. Yeah. What? When Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers. They're nothing to me. But he's there. He's there. Whether you feel like it, whether you know, he has never left or forsaken one of his children. And he never will. And let's say, the tree of life. What is it? We live because he lives. He gives eternal life to everyone that the Father has given to him. Oh, excuse me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is thus saith Job, okay? Jesus Christ is the tree of life. He's the tree of life. He has given unto us eternal life, perpetual life. And what do you say? Everyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, but I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Oh my, that's good news. That's good news. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never cast us out, even though we may deserve it. Let's not joke. We do deserve it. We're horrible people, even at our best. And if you don't know that, you don't know nothing. Sorry. Double negative or something like that, but it'll matter. If you don't know that you are a sinner, Christ has never spoken to you. And I understand. Oh, we're all sinners, brother. That's not what I'm talking about. Yes, we are all sinners. But do you know you're a sinner? Do you know it? Well, I like what Walter says. But are you an ungodly sinner? Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for righteous people. He came not to call righteous people, but sinners unto repentance. Because you understand, when he calls a sinner, He's never going to leave them alone. Ever. He chastises every son that he has. And if you're not chastised, you're not a son. And Max, the scripture says, you're a bastard and not a son. That's the words of scripture. But afterwards, oh, it's a chastisement. Oh, chastisement. Chastisement stinks. It's grievous. It bothers you. That's why it's called chastisement. You understand? But here's the thing. The word chastisement means punishment, yes, but punishment with correction. Why? Afterwards, this chastisement yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Of righteousness. God doesn't punish people just because they're bad. He punishes you to teach you. And trust me, folks, we need taught. We need to be taught. Oh, my. He is not a way. He is the only way. There is no other way, and all other ways that people try to come up with lead on the broad road to destruction. That's it. There's only two roads. The broad way that leads to destruction, and the straight gate and the narrow way which leads unto righteousness. Oh, I like that. And few there be that find it. Sinners can call on Jesus Christ anytime. Anytime. Was it Henry Mahan said, honest people don't go to hell. Because honest people know they're a sinner and they'll confess it. They know in here, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Present tense. Even now. Sinners can call on him anytime because he came to call sinners to repentance. Because here it is. Whenever they are laboring and heavy laden, you can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He'll give them rest. When they're laboring and heavy laden, he will give you rest. Whenever they know they are ungodly, they can call upon him because he died for the ungodly. Whenever they hunger and thirst for righteousness, they can call upon him because he gives us his righteousness and he is our righteousness. Oh, I like that. He hath clothed us with both the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. His righteousness, not ours, not ours. His righteousness. Now, here's the conclusion of the whole matter of salvation and eternal life. If Jesus Christ has not given you life, if Jesus Christ has not done this for you and to you, then you're lost. Then you're lost. And here's what lost means. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what it means to be lost. Those without Christ, without hope, aliens and strangers to God. Well, but if you know yourself to be a sinner, an alien, a stranger from God. Oh, I like that. I got a hope. I got a word of hope for you. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And I can tell you this, for a certain, if you call any sinner that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be saved. He'll be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Ah, I like that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And though the way to the garden be barred and blocked and kept, the way is never blocked. No, it's not. No one blocks the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by him. By him. He'll bring you in. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Father, thank you again for this time and this place. Help us, Lord. We know we're weak. We know we're foolish. Some days, Lord, we just know we're stupid. But thou hast all knowledge, all wisdom, all power, and all glory. And you are working your will. Known unto you are all your works from the beginning. And we know what those works are as whatsoever thou hast pleased. Be pleased to help us, Lord. Strengthen us as we walk in this world. Make us feel your presence and your Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. And in this world, as we are surrounded by nonsense and foolishness and lies and everything else, give us strength, Lord, to walk in your paths. Make us to walk in your paths. Be with Paul as he comes to preach here. Be with Walter as he's in Ohio, and all your preachers wherever they may be. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.